This is Jordan Seculo. Breaking news. Donald Trump Jr. releases his emails and the exchanges on the Russia meeting.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We're breaking down the news that is literally just breaking as we come to you on the air, and that is that Donald Trump Jr., this is the president's son, he does not work in the White House. He is now running the Trump organization with his brother, Eric. In an article last night, the New York Times released that he met with these individuals who said they had information from the Russian government, that they were even from the Russian government and had information that would be damaging to Hillary Clinton, interestingly enough, because of her ties to Russia. So, led to believe that in the email exchange that Russia wanted to hurt Hillary Clinton with information about her ties to their own country and their government, which, again, brings into question, well, Donald Trump Jr. now, and this is breaking news, has released the full email exchange. His statement has been very clear. He did this out actually on Twitter, so you can actually see. It's not just sources to the New York Times anymore. You can read these for yourself. He said, to everyone, in order to be totally transparent, I am releasing the entire email chain of my emails with Rob Goldstone about the meeting on June 9, 2016. The first email on June 3, 2016 was from Rob, who was relating a request from a person I knew from the 2013 Miss Universe pageant near Moscow. Imin and his father have a fairly high respected company in Moscow. The information they suggested they had about Hillary Clinton I thought was political opposition research. I first wanted to just have a phone call, but that didn't work out. They said the woman would be in New York and asked if I would meet. I decided to take the meeting. The woman, as she had said publicly, was not actually a Russian government official. And as we have said, she had no information to provide and wanted to talk about the adoption policy of the Magnitsky Act, and that the meeting was inane nonsense I had ever heard. Of course, that's not where the focus is. The focus is on, just to be clear and transparent to everybody, as we're going through the emails for you, in the first email on June 3rd from Rob Goldstone, that's a business associate, not a government official in Russia, to Donald Trump Jr. He says that the Crown Prosecutor of Russia, and we're still trying to determine exactly what that is position is, met with his father, talking about this pop star this morning, and in their meeting offered to provide the Trump campaign with some official documents as information that would incriminate Hillary and her dealings with Russia and would be very useful to your father. And then it goes on, this is very obviously very high level and sensitive information, but as part of Russia and its government's support for Mr. Trump, help along by Eris and Aaron. But this did not come from a Russian official or a Russian government official. Of course, though, the media is seizing on this. The question, though, is really not the law. Politically, do you go to the meeting or not? That's one question. The law, it's not about money being exchanged here or colluding with resources. It's about info that they have about Hillary Clinton and her ties to Russia. And, of course, that information didn't exist, but it doesn't all add up clearly. You can see, I think, how these exchanges would go back and forth in an email quickly. That you have the meeting, there was nothing to it, and now this has become a huge story. But at the time, there was no focus about Russia and Trump. And so, Logan, we take people's calls about it. They've got comments or questions as this is just breaking and they're hearing about it. And basically, depending on where you're getting your news, you're going to hear this a little bit differently. Yeah. So it's 1-800-684-3110. But I read to you the most, I think, specific part of that exchange, which is by email.
That's right. You can give us a call, like you said, at 1-800-684-3110. We'll break down these emails even further. We'll go into other news as well. If you have a question or comment on today's show, we need to hear your voice. 1-800-684-3110. You can also join us broadcasting live during the show and during the breaks. We don't go to break online. That's at aclj.org. You can get your comments in, though, and watch us on Facebook and Periscope, facebook.com/jsekulow. Periscope, just search for Jay Sekulow. You can also find that on Twitter, at Jay Sekulow. You can watch the feed there as well. Again, phone lines are open there, jamming up really quick. If you want your voice heard, this is the time to do it. 1-800-684-3110. As we break down these emails and talk about everything that's going on in the news, we also have exclusive videos that run during the breaks.
Be right back on Jay Sekulow Live, taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be back.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks. From Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando, Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in the centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. After the New York Times released a fairly salacious story last night, quoting sources, and they had not yet seen the documents they were relying upon, that the president's son, Donald Trump Jr., had met with people from someone who was laid out to be as a put out to be as a Russian government attorney, and that they met back. This was in June during the campaign after. President Trump had basically secured the nomination, that this individual had information from the Russian government that linked and damaged Hillary Clinton because of her relationship. I mean, it looked like opposition research. I think that the key here that everyone is going to point to is that that's followed by that it is high-level and sensitive info, but part of Russia and its government support for Mr. Trump. That's a key right there. That is in the email exchange. By the way, that was put out. Who put the actual emails out today? Not the New York Times, not a leak. Donald Trump Jr. He, and I think an unprecedented kind of act of transparency, is saying here is exactly the exchange that led to this meeting. Here's what happened in the meeting. It was basically a lot of nonsense, and it didn't end up focusing on this matter. Now, again, I think that there's the two issues, the legal issues and the political issues. Politically, again, if you are someone who is opponent of the president and you want to paint this narrative, you can run with that politically. Legally, try to point out where the law is broken in this, and you cannot. And that is because having a meeting is not illegal. And then, of course, there was no exchange of anything. So even there, I mean, there's no follow-up. There's no number two to this. So having the meeting itself, again, not illegal. There's no exchange of anything. So just to put that out there, but we'll take people's calls about it. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
Let's take a call. Let's go to Scott, who's calling in Colorado on line one, and give us a call as well. But Scott, you're on the air.
Okay, guys. Great. Thanks for my call. I just read another story today where an email was sent by a music publicist who represented the son of a Russian developer who supposedly had some kind of ambiguous ties to the Trump family. And so it just seems like that's hangs in such thin wires. A music publicist.
Yeah, that's now, who this email's from. Involved. Yeah, Scott. I mean, I'm not cutting you off. I'll let you come back. But to be clear, the email is from this Rob Goldstone, who is not Russian, who is involved in kind of a music rep and entertainment rep.
Entertainment industry.
So they know through, remember, Donald Trump owned Miss Universe.
Right.
So the pageant was in Moscow. But go ahead. So, Scott, yeah, this email did not come from a Russian government official.
Exactly. Yeah, that's your point, too. It has nothing to do with Russia, government officials in that sense. And somehow there's a tie to affecting the election with our secure election system from a music publicist.
That is not, Scott, that is not what this story is about. This has nothing to do with Russian hacking or alleging that Russia is hacking. This is about having opposition research on Hillary Clinton and her dealings with Russia, which is why it doesn't really make a lot of sense now looking at it from 10,000 feet. Now, at the time, when this is not a story, Russian interference and Russia with Trump, that at the time, I don't think you would be as cautious. Obviously, today, if this came in to one of these campaign officials, in the moment we live in, I think obviously things have changed. But that does not mean that at the time, I mean, these campaigns don't get bizarre requests for meetings. Sometimes they happen. Things are moving quickly. Some things lead to good information. Others lead nowhere. Most meetings lead nowhere in the political world. And they're usually people trying to push their own agenda to individuals they deem to be.
Just get you in the room and say something different.
Yeah, because they deem that you could be potentially powerful, that you don't necessarily have the power yet.
Yep.
But that you might, so you could be someone who is influential, and I want to make my case about something else, which is that either this developer got duped or the music guy got duped into this. And he's the one making the claim this is somehow the Russian government. By the way, here's the lawyer. She's being interviewed by NBC News yesterday in this exclusive, and she's asked directly if she's ever represented the Russian government.
Have you ever worked for the Russian government? Do you have connections to the Russian government?
Yep.
No.
I mean, it's pretty clear. They did the translation for you. But if those connections were there, then I think that you would not have a lawyer, someone who's been thrust into such a public position now, say no like that so definitively. The Kremlin saying no. If the information's out there, I think they would know that's going to eventually be out there. She was obviously not there for the purposes she said it was, and that has been made clear. I do believe, honestly, this is, again, more of an issue so that we're not focusing in on actual legislation. There's only 13 days left in the legislative calendar. We'll bring in Dan Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, as well, to give us an update on that, because the Senate is still supposed to be working on Obamacare replacement and the repeal and replace of Obamacare, with just 13 days left before their major recess. And you had the story come out about Jim Comey, that the information he leaked, some of those documents were all government documents. That's how the FBI has treated them. And it's four of them contain classified information, and he of the seven. So, and then he gave his friend four. So if you do the math, his friend at least had one, and maybe potentially more, that had classified information and that was leaked out to the press. So that came out, and that narrative only lasted for about, what, Logan, 12 hours, not even, before this story broke, because that was, again, very damaging to the idea of even the special counsel themselves being based upon information that was classified, potentially being leaked.
Yeah, I think that's become the common thread here, is if a news breaks that they don't want to cover, they're just not going to, or they're going to spin it so far out of control, and I would include this in there as well. You're having Don Jr. release these documents himself, and they're treating it as if it's somehow like salacious that he's releasing his own documents. It's an odd way to do it. But we're seeing that, again, they're controlling the narrative. They're controlling the narrative fed to you as a human being, as an American, and don't buy into it. Listen to people like us. Find other sources. Get your own direct sources and make up your own mind, because you're not going to hear anything they don't want you to hear. Let's go ahead, though, and take a call. Let's go to Anthony in Colorado on line three. Anthony, welcome to the show.
Hello. I think we're still letting the left control the narrative. And here's what I mean. If I did something corrupt at work and a coworker told on me and I get fired, why did I get fired? Not because of the coworker, but because of what I did at work. And I think the focus needs to go back to what Hillary actually did. And it doesn't matter who told on her or who got the information out. We need to focus back on what she did and get that the narrative, instead of Russia, get back to what she did.
Well, I mean, you could also take the position that the election is over.
Yeah,
and that even based on the officials, Anthony, who have testified to Russia's interference into election systems, that it had no effect on votes and voting systems. Again, that's different than whether or not, you know, fake news stories influence people, but that they don't, it had no effect on actual voting systems. So you could move on from that. And I think you could also move on from Hillary Clinton because she's lost. She's no longer in the spotlight.
No longer relevant.
At the same time, this all continues to push back to that, because then you say, well, what was this idea that the Hillary Clinton had these ties to Russia? Her campaign was working with the Ukrainians, supposedly. I mean, that story was already out.
Yeah,
there was already a story out, because, but she didn't win, so there was not follow-up on her. So there was a story out about her campaign working with the anti-Russian Ukrainian government to get info out about Donald Trump and damaging info about him. We know about the dossier that was developed as well, this fake dossier that was making its rounds through the intelligence world, all involving Russia. And so there's, again, there's the dirty world of, you know, politics and campaigns and the nastiness there. And then there's governing. And I believe this is an attempt to prevent any governing from occurring. But it's not like, again, you're having to subpoena to get this information. Donald Trump Jr. is tweeting it out.
Right.
We live in an unprecedented time for people to have access to information. Unlike Jim Comey, who's hiding his memos and giving them to his friend to read to the New York Times, Donald Trump Jr. just said, here it is, and put it all out there for everyone to read.
That's right. So don't read into this even more so the fact that he's saying, look, you want to know what happened? Here's exactly what happened. Here are the words that were sent. Here are the texts that were made. I mean, remember, this isn't that long ago. He probably had this still in his email and his phone ready to go and send it out. So, you know, again, this is something that can be easily misconstrued. It's a big headline, you know, Donald Trump Jr., Russia, emails. Yep. These are all buzzwords that everyone loves. So you got to make sure that you're reading actually the facts, not just the headlines. Because when you hear, like I said, Trump emails Russia, your mind goes to no. So we are going to have a special video that's going to come up during the break. It's Jordan, I believe, on the, was it earlier today?
Or yesterday?
Yesterday, excuse me. So you'll be able to watch some of that coming up in the breaks if you're watching. And that's if you're watching on social media, which if you're not, you're listening on terrestrial radio, that's great. We support and love our stations and terrestrial radio. But if you want something a little bit different, we do run these exclusive videos and talk to you during the breaks and take comments that come in on social media during the breaks. You can find that on Facebook and Periscope.
And we're going to get a legislative update as well. We're going to bring in Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, Washington, D.C., to get an update on actual legislative action in Washington. And we will continue to cover and take your calls about the Russia story as this is breaking in the news. Also, the reports not confirmed by the United States, but some good sourcing that the leader of ISIS has been killed. We will get into that as well later in the broadcast and continue to follow that. We'll be back on Jay Sekulow Live. Take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. And something that is fairly unusual to see in our political time that we live in, Donald Trump Jr., after a very salacious story, and I just want to make sure that you even have seen that, because it came out last night in the New York Times, that this meeting with someone who was purported to be a Russian official, who has denied that they were a Russian official, by the way, but was described as such in the email, had information from the Russian government that was damaging about Hillary Clinton and her ties to Russia. It mentions, quote, that it would, in the email to Donald Trump Jr., it would, quote, incriminate Hillary in her dealings with Russia. It would be very useful to your father. This is obviously very high-level and sensitive information, but it's part of Russia and its government support for Mr. Trump, helped along by a pop star and his developer father. This email came from someone who is not Russian, but is a music promoter in the entertainment industry that knew Donald Trump Jr. and the fam and the Trump family through the Miss Universe pageant that Donald Trump owned. And so in a so the New York Times reports this information saying that someone read them the emails, but they didn't actually have them. So what did Donald Trump Jr. do today? He released the emails to everyone on Twitter. So this is what I'm holding in my hands if you're watching on Facebook or Periscope. And if you're listening on radio, these emails were not leaked to the New York Times. They were not released because of court order or documents. They were published by Donald Trump Jr. To the whole world on his Twitter account, page by page, so you can go through each email that sees, again, setting up this meeting. And Logan, what it does, obviously, is it undercuts the narrative. This wasn't, like, forced information to get out in a court order right. or a Senate request or a subpoena a committee.
It makes total sense for him to do this. I commend him for doing this, for going out there and being upfront, honest with the American people. We do see, though, that the news does like to spin it still. So we had, you know, a lot of people. We have the photo up actually on the screen. I believe we can get up here. This is from the different, just essentially different push notifications you got via your phone. So it started with CNN clearly saying that he tweeted the email chain. Donald Trump Jr. from Washington Post tweets entire exchange. Washington Post tweets entire exchange. New York Times, the Times now has the email to Donald Trump Jr. offering aid to incriminated Hillary. His reply, if it's what you say, I love it. So they are leading with the fact that they have broken this news. The New York Times has found out. They have gotten their sources that have given them this email chain. Sure. And they, of course, failed to mention in theirs, unlike every other, even the news sources I don't like here, which is most of them, it says on here that most of them at least are upfront saying, yeah, he put this out himself. But the New York Times, as always, doesn't have enough room to fit, clearly, the facts.
All the news that's fit to print, but not the facts.
But not fitting your narrative.
Exactly. And so, again, when you want to take your phone calls on it, 1-800-684-3110. Let me go to Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs. Than, this obviously, I mean, we've already seen, if you're watching and following the news closely, begins to dominate again the Washington news cycle. There's only, 13 days left in the legislative calendar, and the U.S. Senate has still not acted on Obamacare, the repeal. Where does that stand, and how does this potentially impact that?
Well, a couple of things, Jordan, and you probably already mentioned this, but just a very quick passing comment on the story that you're talking about today. First of all, seeking opposition research is very standard fare for campaigns. And any campaign that's out there that wants to say it's not, I would dare them to release emails like Donald Trump Jr. has today. Yeah. But you're right. It is detracting in Washington, D.C. from what is essentially an approaching deadline, Jordan. 13 legislative days left till the August recess. I would very quickly note there is no statute that says that they have to leave. So if they wanted to stay and work through the recess, they could. But there are no plans to do so at this point. At 1:30 this afternoon, so in about an hour, all of the Senate GOP senators are meeting together to discuss the latest negotiations on what they are going to try to pass next week, Jordan. They're going to send a bill to CBO at the end of this week. They'll have a score next week, and they're going to try again. But I will tell you this. At this point, they have not figured out how to get to 50 votes. So very simply put, we can get into some of the machinations. We can talk about the different proposals that are out there. But I'll just tell you, in the quick amount of time we have here, they do not have 50 votes around an idea as we talk at this moment.
So they're not ready to have a vote. I mean, so you got a quick deadline approaching. So I think the bigger issue will be then on that will be if they extended, let's say, their time in Washington, would that do anything? I mean, would it matter? to not go to recess if you can't get to the 50 votes. Lo, let's take a phone call.
All right, let's go ahead. Let's go to Greg, who's calling in Cleveland, Ohio, on line 6.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. You know, this does seem, I just don't see the connection between breaking any sort of election laws, campaign laws. Like, for instance, maybe, okay, let's say there was collusion. And I could see that if this was Trump's second term that he was trying to gain office, retain his seat, and he's already in office. He's you know, president for 4 years. He's a government official. At that point, collusion can stick. But he was a private citizen. You know, it's like if Hillary, while she was Secretary of State, colluded with Russia to get her elected as president, she's already in a sitting government position.
Yeah, you know, she was colluded with, interesting enough, Greg, this is, again, don't just take my word for it. Go to Politico. January 11, 2017, Ukrainian efforts to sabotage Trump backfire. So you can find this in the mainstream media. Ukrainian government officials tried to help Hillary Clinton and undermine Trump by publicly questioning his fitness for office. They also disseminated documents implicating a top Trump aide in corruption and suggested they were investigating the matter, only to back away after the election. And they helped Clinton's allies research damaging information on Trump and his advisors. A Politico investigation found a Ukrainian-American operative who was consulting for the Democrat National Committee, so being paid for by the Democratic National Committee, met with top officials in the Ukrainian embassy in Washington in an effort to expose ties between Trump, top campaign aide Paul Manafort, and Russia, according to people with direct knowledge of the situation. So this is happening on both sides of the campaign. You had one working with an anti-Russian government, Ukrainian government officials, and even on the payroll of the DNC. And then on the other side, you had a meeting coming from the other side that went nowhere. I mean, it looks like the information from Ukraine was a lot more damaging and a lot more politically involved. And as you bring up, we don't get into this as much because this story exists. I mean, it's an 18-page expose in Politico right here about how Ukraine has had to rebuild its ties because of how involved they got in the election against Trump on behalf of Hillary Clinton. And so I point this out to say that this gets glossed over when you're the loser. You know, when you're the loser in the campaign, this doesn't matter so much anymore. And again, I want to take people's phone calls on this, on Obamacare, and the breaking news. It's been floating out there, the idea that the leader of ISIS, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, who is an elusive figure, who was potentially killed in airstrikes weeks ago, has not been confirmed. But there's now a group out of the UK, which has been very trustworthy with information, who is confirming and saying that ISIS is actually reporting regionally that the leader of ISIS has been killed. The U.S. government hasn't confirmed this yet, but it feels like we're on the heels of that potentially happening as well. A big news story like that, where you could have the head of ISIS be dead. And what would that mean for the organization? Legislative, 13 days left on the calendar. And of course, we'll talk about the tweets from Donald Trump Jr. in our second half hour of the show.
That's right. Speaking of which, phone lines are open. If you want to hear us and you want to get your voice heard, 1-800-684-3110. We're also broadcasting live. If you lose us, all the networks carry us. But if they don't, we're broadcasting live on Facebook, Periscope. Just go to Facebook.com/JSeculo. You can see it's the latest post or Periscope. You can also find us broadcasting, but you can't communicate that way. But you can see it on ACLJ.org. Download the ACLJ app available for Apple TV, for iPhone, for iPad, and also Roku channel store. You can find the ACLJ there as well. And subscribe to the Jay Sekulow podcast.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ matching challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be double. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. A fairly unprecedented move. Let me just reset the stage for everyone. Last night, New York Times releases a story. The headline from that, Willow, you put that in the chat, because this headline, it's very salacious. I mean, when you see it and when you read through it last night, it was based on information that the New York Times had three sources on, reading them information, but they didn't actually have the emails that they were referring to. And there was even kind of contradictory statements from people who were doing interviews with them. Not all, by the way, U.S. Citizens. So some of that may have been a bit lost in translation. But what was the New York Times headline was, Donald Trump Jr. was told an email of Russian effort to aid campaign. All right. So that's fairly big news, right? That the president's son, who, by the way, is not in the U.S. government, but is operating the private Trump business. But he's involved. He was involved in the campaign, but did not take a position in the U.S. government. And is not, at the White House advising on those issues. He's running the business. He has now released the emails this morning, just before we went on air. The New York Times did not get these emails by a leak. They were not because of the special counsel. They were not because of a Senate subpoena or some congressional committee. Donald Trump Jr. wanted everybody to see exactly what the exchanges were, because there were people that were starting to do interviews about this meeting, and information was getting, I think, more confusing. And they say, I'm just going to put this out so that everyone knows, in the email, in the first email he was received from, again, not a Russian government official, but from a music promoter, that he has info that would incriminate Hillary and her dealings with Russia. It would be very useful to your father. So this info, again, would be like opposition research about Hillary and specifically her dealings with Russia, that comes from the Crown Prosecutor, which we believe is really referring to like a prosecutor general in Russia, which is like their attorney general. So it'd be kind of, would be a point high level, as it says in the email, and sensitive info, but as part of Russia and its government support for Mr. Trump. There's where the media is seizing on. And then Donald Trump Jr. writes back, I'm on the road. Perhaps I can speak to them first on the phone call. If it's what you say, I love it, especially later in the summer. And that would be this information, of course, that would incriminate Hillary in her dealings. Now, in political campaigns, if you have info about your opponent that incriminates them in their dealings with a country, there's a reason why you would like that information. A lot of people are viewing this from the lens of today. I think that if you view this from the lens of today, Logan, you say, why on earth would you take a meeting? At the time, there was no Russia story. Paul Manafort this was before the convention. Okay, so this was just when he wrapped up, basically, the nomination battle was over. We're talking, June of 2016, before the Republican National Convention, before Paul Manafort became a news story, as well, the Trump, who was the, campaign manager temporarily, or chairman for the Trump campaign, but because of his tie to some activities, foreign activities, he is no longer with the campaign. But that's before all this. So if you go back in time, you're not concerned as a Trump family member about any of that information. None of that is yet bothering to it's become an issue to you. And I think that, again, it took place less than a week before it was widely reported that Russian hackers had infiltrated the DNC server. So this is even before that news was breaking about any kind of Russian involvement whatsoever. But again, I put this out there so that, because this is the news, we've been talking about these issues, focusing on the issues. I'm going to be on television later today about this as well. And you have to deal with, again, no one is disputing the facts. So we're going to take your phone calls about it and your comments.
That's right. 1-800-684-3110. Get your voice heard today. We do have one line open right now. And we have some comments coming on. We'll take some of those in the next segment as well. We also have exclusive video coming up during the break. Once again, 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard today as we take more comments about that. We got a lot of calls already in.
Yeah, 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. Of course, we've got comments going in on Facebook and Periscope as well. Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, is joining us to get updates on what's happening in Washington, D.C. as well. Not ignoring that the limited amount of time in the legislative calendar before the August recess, and Obamacare has not been repealed or replaced by Congress fully. It's gone through the House, but not the Senate. We'll talk about it all when we come back.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks. From Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando, Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. I think everybody at this point knows the story. Donald Trump Jr. tweets out the emails that were referenced in a New York Times story that broke last night about him meeting with, being told in an email of a Russian effort, government effort, to aid his father's campaign. So he released the emails for everyone to see, along with a statement out with those emails. There is information in there that would confirm how the story, you know, is reported. So to some extent, nothing came of it. And everyone in the meeting is saying that. And they're actually saying that the attorney who was there, the Russian individual, was not a government official at all. She's done interviews saying that she had no information about Hillary Clinton and no opposition research. But we want to take phone calls on it and get people's thoughts on this, because I think it does – to some extent, obviously, this has an impact on many different things going on in our country and the world, but it impacts even things like Obamacare getting repealed in the Senate. Yeah.
All right, let's go to Andrea, who's calling in Dallas, Texas, on line one. You're on the air.
Hi there. Yes, I just think that there's incredible double standards with the media. I mean, how many times did Hillary meet with the Russian government? I mean, they don't talk about her giving North Korea uranium. I mean, there's so many more important things that they could focus on.
Well, I think this is what happens, though. When you're the loser, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, you just go away.
I mean, you know, things about Hillary Clinton, it happened before. I'm not saying that it doesn't matter, you know, in the bigger sense of the term, and if she tried to make a comeback politically. But when you lose an election and you no longer are in power, she's no longer Secretary of State, you are not the leader of the free world. You're not the President of the United States. Interest turns away from you. You know, you're not going to be under the same kind of scrutiny anymore.
Yeah, you don't really think you're about lost. Any candidate that lost.
Yeah, I mean,
they
people
just kind of disappear.
People forget about you to some extent. And in this case, if you're the candidate that wins and the media doesn't like you, and I think that was fairly clear for all conservative candidates, but specifically the way that this now president operates, the media is going to turn. They're going to use everything they can, every kind of opposition they can. Take you out. So again, I think that's why the story's not going to be Hillary Clinton, because Hillary Clinton is not president of the United States.
I think you're absolutely right. Let's go ahead and take a call. Let's just take one that's maybe a little, shake it up a little. Let's go to Terry, who's calling Dallas, Texas, on line three. Terry, you're on the air.
Yes. I think, Jay, before you start talking about this liberal media bias and stuff like that, in my opinion, when Donald Trump said last year he could go down Fifth Avenue, shoot somebody and not lose any votes, I think he had people like you in mind.
When you wait, by the way, Terry, I'm going to cut you off right there. he made, you know, statements before we talked about it on the show, and you know what he did? He won in a landslide election. I mean, so, you know, that he operates in a different way. But I will tell you this. Your information, I think that what you're wrong about is that there was no information here, and the New York Times even admits it, that this took place less than a week before it was widely reported that Russian hackers had infiltrated the Democrat committee servers. So there was no Russia story for this campaign to even be considering. And I think if you're mad about who won the election, you can be mad about who won the election. There's other elections coming up in the future, but this is a drag on the whole country. And I think that's the bigger point. You know, we're lawyers, you can get into all the legal issues. But the bigger point is that this is a drag on the entire country at a time where the leader of ISIS may be dead, okay, and been killed. What does the impact have on that of that organization?
Right.
Mosul has been liberated. They are down to one stronghold. But again, we've been warned that when they are pushed out of these strongholds, these fighters are going to come back into Europe and even into the United States and the Western world and still be real threats to us. What does that mean? Is Obamacare going to be repealed? Is the Senate going to take their August recess? Is Congress going to leave Washington without doing that? Are these things going to happen? And yet, instead, what we're focusing in on is emails from the president's son.
Exactly.
During a campaign before he was the president's son. He was just, at that time, Donald Trump, the businessman running for president's son, who the president had no knowledge of this, wasn't involved with this. It involves a former campaign manager, a son, and a son-in-law. Yeah. I mean, and again, if you want to hold a campaign, the candidate responsible for every meeting and everything that came in, and as a caller pointed out, before they're a government official, you know, it's. I worked on a presidential reelection campaign for an incumbent president, much more careful.
Yeah.
Okay, that was for President Bush. He was already elected president. So the campaign had to be much more careful because he was the president of the United States. That changes drastically when you are not a government official at that time. It's certainly not president of the United States. But in Hillary Clinton's case, the DNC had a Ukrainian-American on staff as a paid consultant digging up dirt, working with the Ukrainian government. It just didn't get as much information and story because it wasn't effective. And she lost the election, so no one was focusing in on that because the loser strategy or whatever happened to cause a loss or blaming whatever reasons you want to come up with, excuses you want to come up with for a loss, that's not a story to the loser. I mean, you don't write about those stories. So we could take phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. I think it's a good time. Let's go to Than and update people because Than, Washington is still working. And it's not just on the Russia issue. They are working on healthcare. They have a couple weeks left on the legislative calendar, and they can stay longer. Nothing forces them to take a recess. But where do things stand on these bigger kind of legislative issues like the repeal of Obamacare?
Well, it might depend on your definition of working, Jordan. They're certainly here. I was in meetings for 2 hours this morning on the negotiations over healthcare. You mentioned it before. There are only 13 days left before they're scheduled to leave. Very simply put, Jordan, they're trying to get to 50 votes on this legislative repeal of Obamacare. And here's where you start. You have 52 GOP senators. You only have 51 that are really open to repealing Obamacare if the Planned Parenthood language is in there. And it is going to stay in, which is very good news for our audience. Susan Collins has said she will not go along with that. So you start with 51 and you can lose only one more with the vice president casting the tie-breaking vote. Jordan, where we're at on issues like Medicaid dollars and subsidy levels and whether or not regulations under Obamacare are repealed, you have moderates like Senator Portman and Senator Collins who are pushing for more subsidies for Medicaid, simply put. And you have conservatives like Senator Cruz, Senator Lee, Senator Paul, Senator Johnson, looking for more relief for people who don't want to buy plans that were required under Obamacare. They are trying, literally in about 45 minutes, to come to an agreement on what balance can get them to that 50 votes. Jordan, if they get there, we would see legislative text by the end of the week, a CBO score by early next week, and the goal would be to vote on that next at the end of next week. We've seen how this has gone before. That timeline could slip, but that's what they're aiming for at this moment.
So really in the next 2 weeks, I mean, a major legislative agenda item that either kind of goes or does not, and then you'll have the decision about whether or not Congress goes home during its recess back into its constituency or stays. And I think that question becomes a matter of can you get to the number 50 or not? I think that there's huge political ramifications for that. And we're going to continue to cover it every day that this is, again, leading up to this, because you cannot just focus in on one story, though it is a dominating story, and one that deserves attention today, especially when the president's son tweets emails out that were released in a New York Times breaking news article in the evening before. I mean, this it's kind of unprecedented in our time period that this did not come out through leaks. It did not come out. I mean, it was initially obviously somehow leaked to the New York Times, the information, but the actual documents weren't leaked. They weren't because of court order or subpoenas by Congress or any kind of information like that. They were tweeted out by the individual who was named in an article by his own Twitter account on his own accord. And that is what has happened today. So we'll continue to take comments on that as well at 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, just one line's open right now. So let's take a call, try to clear up some lines. We head into the last segment to give you guys some more time. Let's go to Tina in Houston, Texas. On line two, Tina, you're on the air.
Hi. My question is this meeting between President Trump's son and this now supposed non-government official from Russia, the exchange that happened between them, nothing came of it. So I'm quite, you know, confused as to why this is even news or being discussed, because...
Because it goes to the bigger narrative that the news wants you to think, that the Russian government hacked the election for Donald Trump. And so if they can point to any kind of Russian involvement with anybody associated with the president or his campaign, and anything that's tied, that even mentioned the Russian government supporting Donald Trump, which this email does. By the way, it's not from the Russian government, but it was, and then followed up on by someone. It goes to the narrative. It's not, they know it's not the legal issue. It is the narrative of the political issue, and it's basically the only narrative that the left has right now, which is that Donald Trump is somehow not a legitimate president. It's not about the issues. It's not about the policies. It's about the legitimacy of his electoral victory, because it was so massive that the Democrats can't figure out how to explain it away. Now, again, look at their special election laws. They continue. The strategy not working for them, but the media continues to pile on. We'll continue to discuss it. I also wanted to discuss the ISIS news, the healthcare news as well. So we'll take your calls, 1-800-684-3110, as well as your comments that are coming in online.
That's right. Again, 1-800-684-3110. As we head to the final segment of the broadcast, we want to get your voice heard and on the air. So do it now. 1-800-684-3110. Right back with more on Jay Sekulow Live.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls. That's what we do in the final segment of this broadcast. And again, we are focusing on, obviously, this Russia issue once again in the news. The New York Times, fairly salacious story last night without the actual documents. The documents have now, in the emails referenced in the story about Donald Trump's son, Donald Trump Jr., have been released by Donald Trump Jr. in his Twitter account. Again, not through an attorney, not through a court order, not through a congressional investigation. He just tweeted out his emails so that you could see the exchanges yourself. That is now out for the public to see. And the New York Times, again, you've got it is the major dominant story right now, and we're taking your phone calls about it.
Yep, let's do it. Let's go to Andrew, who's calling in Fresno, California. If you want to be on the air, too, 1-800-684-3110. Andrew, you're on the air.
Hi, Jordan. Real quick, I know everyone is focused on Donald Trump Jr.'s intent, you know, to collude, and that's the big story. But in this email I'm reading, and it's in this email chain, there's apparently they made a big deal. The Rob and these people emailing Don Jr. made a big deal about these official documents, high-level sensitive information, part of Russian government and its support for Mr. Trump. So why would they go through all the trouble to emphasize these documents and not bring them to the meeting? Sounds like a setup to me.
Yeah, it does seem. I mean, it's highly suspicious. And I think, listen, I mean, this is to go into Donald Trump Jr. with it, who is not someone who was necessarily involved in high, you know, politics his whole life or running campaigns. Knew this person from the business world. I don't think the red flags go off the same way they do now looking back. You know, it's easy to say now a red flag is going off. Yeah. At the time, someone says they got official documents showing Hillary Clinton has basically incriminating evidence about her dealings with Russia. And you're running a campaign against Hillary Clinton. I mean, if you take it like that, at the time before all this Russia info becomes so dominant and the accusations there even, the idea of the hacking of the election or the DNC and the involvement into servers, all of that, before all that, you take this at the time. And if you take it from that approach, I think you're right, Andrew. It does seem kind of like a longer term setup. And then second, I would go to the bigger issue. There was obviously no information here, and every party involved has confirmed that. So whether this was just someone that wanted to get a meeting with an potentially very important or influential American, at the time they were not that yet. I mean, they're business leaders, right, but not the president of the United States' son. He wasn't that. He was just a candidate's son at that point. And then pushed their own agenda item, which was a U.S. sanctions against Russia, which they shot down, and basically the meeting was done at that point. So we'll continue to take your phone calls on it, 1-800-684-3110.
Let's go to Angela in New York on line 6. You're on the air.
I'm not.
You're on the air. You are on the air.
Oh, yes. I have a question. As a registered Democrat from New York, who voted not because of Democrats or Republicans, I dislike them both, and voted for Donald Trump. And reason why I'm saying, nobody discussing how we have unemployment rate 10-year low. We have a victory against the ISIS. So we created more jobs since President Trump took office than any other presidents, including Obama, Bush, and Bill Clinton. Yet the media focusing so much on Russia connection. I am from former Soviet Union. I'm a registered Democrat. I didn't vote for Republicans or Democrats. I voted for Donald Trump because he was a better candidate.
Yeah, and Angela, that was where I think Donald Trump caught a lot of people off guard. He didn't end up carrying New York, but he carried these Rust Belt states, Wisconsin, Ohio, Pennsylvania. Those states that, again, it was not; these were not necessarily Republican
voters.
They're
not easy.
They're not the typical people who would say, oh, I'm doing this because out of party line or specific, even a specific policy agenda, but more because they like the tone, they like the idea, the broader approach that Donald Trump was talking about. And it caught the Democrats off guard to a point now where they're still trying to undermine this president's electoral victory now over, you know, close to, 6 months later,
yep,
a year after he becomes the nominee. I mean, it's all still an attempt to gain political victory.
Absolutely. And it's they're using the news media to get that rhetoric out there that this is somehow a fraudulent campaign, somehow ridiculousness, like we said in the New York Times earlier today, leaving out where everyone else did, that this information was not only willingly given up by Donald Trump Jr., no one even really asked for it. He just posted it on social media. So, I mean, that just is what it is. Let's continue on. Let's go to Blen, who's calling in Virginia on line one. You're on the air, Blen.
Hi. My question to you is, United States of America was attacked by Russia. Is anybody care about that? Forget about Donald cyber. Trump. Forget about Hillary.
Yeah, I think that is something people care about. The president's talked about it as well. It said that they need to work on solutions to make sure. At the same time, all the officials testified that it wasn't successful. I think that we all know that there are foreign governments, some that we classify as enemies, some that we classify as friends, some that are in the middle, between a friend or an enemy, that are going to hack away at our systems. And whether or not you can prevent that is important, and what's going on in that world. And no one is saying that. But to say that, you know, they are the reason why someone won, well, that's a much bigger claim. That's not about...
And an unfounded claim.
Right. And in every story, they have to admit that. It's always one sentence. Yeah. There's no evidence to show that this affected anything at all or the outcome of the election. They just can't believe that their beloved Hillary Clinton lost and that Donald Trump won the presidency of the United States. It caught a lot of political pundits off guard, but the whole Trump campaign did. So I don't think it was – if you look back on it, it's not that shocking to see what happened. At the moment when he won Wisconsin, winning Pennsylvania, winning Ohio, shocking. When you really look at what was happening in this campaign, not so much. But I think, again, you see, it's tough to get through the partisan side of this and get to the realistic side of it because people want to just focus on the political
Absolutely.
Side.
All right, let's go to Carol, who's calling in Wheeling, West Virginia. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
My question is, putting all the stuff aside, certainly Trump has his faults, everyone does, but at the end of the day, I truly believe he can and will be one of the best, if not the best, presidents we've ever had. But in order to do that, we have to get everyone working with him, House, Senate, etc. So what do we need to do, or maybe people like your dad, you, what can we do to get that going so that he can progress and do the things that he wanted to do?
Yeah, well, I think, let me go quickly to Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs. Than, a major test of that will be these next couple of weeks before the August recess for Congress. Can they move on health care? The House has. Can the Senate move on it and get this to the president's desk?
I would say just briefly, the message is to the United States Senate to do their job. The burden of Obamacare, Jordan, and then also the tax burden that would be addressed by tax reform to follow, that is something the United States Senate can do, and it does not need the president there to do its job. That's the message to them. Send the bill to the president for his signature.
All right, folks, that does it for today, and we'll do some media later today as well. We'll continue to follow us on social media. Facebook, obviously, ACLJ.org, our Twitter accounts as well, to stay updated on what we'll be doing and discussing these issues. Tell people, Logan, how they can stay updated.
Yeah. Kind of what he already. Said. Follow us individually at Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow, at Logan Sekulow, at Than Bennett. Like our posts. Do what you need to do. Share the love. ACLJ.org. Right back tomorrow with more.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be double. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org.